The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever. Great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, "You rock."
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Do you know what's going on in your church, around the corner, or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And we're really blessed, friends, to have with us for this second half of the program, Colleen Carol Campbell, who you may know from a variety of tremendous accomplishments that she has. She was, for the New York Times, she was covering the papal visit to the United States when Pope Benedict XVI was here. She wrote the blockbuster book, The New Faithful, Why Young Adults Are Embracing Christian Orthodoxy. She is a renowned columnist, has a syndicated column, which is run in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and she has her own program on EWTN, among other things. She's tremendously accomplished, and I just want to remind you that this second half of the program is being recorded on Monday morning. So at this point, we are unaware of what has happened last night with the election. And I know that we covered that in the first half of our program with Bob Gilligan this morning. But I just wanted to reiterate that. And the reason that this is pre-recorded is because Colleen is working on her column now as we speak in response to last night's events. And we don't know if one person won or the other person won, or maybe they still don't know who won. But we're not sure of that. But all of this is pre-recorded. And we're really blessed because Colleen will be joining us in Chicago for the Chastity Education Initiative's Educating Minds, Inspiring Hearts Benefit Dinner on November 22nd to raise funds for an amazing program, the Chastity Ed Initiative, that serves more than 25,000 teens and college students each year, bringing that message of chastity. Colleen Carol Campbell, welcome to Life Talk this morning.
Thanks for having me, Mary Louise.
Oh, it's a blessing to have you on the show. And, you know, being a part of that, you know, young adult generation that you are also a part of, I Googled your name this morning in preparation for our show, and I saw that you have 130,000 hits on your name, Colleen. That's incredible. You've done so much. It's just remarkable where God has led you over the past several years of your life.
Oh, thank you.
It's tremendous. So I remember when we met several years ago. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I believe it was at a chastity gathering, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, Project Reality Gathering, that was, which is an abstinence education organization. I think it was in like Rosemont. And you interviewed me, and, you know, I was, I just thought, oh, this is one of many interviews I do. And then I was really honored and excited to be part of your book, The New Faithful, Why Young Adults Are Embracing Christian Orthodoxy. And that book is now in its sixth printing. Is that right?
That's right. Hardcover and softcover. And yes, and you were a perfect example. So you were one of many young adults who were very inspiring to me as I was researching, and I think to readers as well.
Oh, well, praise God. Tell us a little bit about that book. You know, a lot of times people think, oh, young adults, they're off the rails. They're in this secular society. They don't care at all about faith. What were your findings? And tell us a little bit about all the research that you did for that book.
Sure. Well, I traveled the country for a year and interviewed more than 500 young adults for my book, The New Faithful. And what I was looking at was this trend that I really hadn't seen covered in the mainstream media, which was a trend toward a more vigorous embrace of traditional religion and morality among young adults. And I zeroed in, of course, on young Christians. I looked mostly at Roman Catholics and Evangelical Protestants, and found that contrary to that stereotype that you mentioned, which is, of course, very pervasive, there's actually a growing number of young adults who are hungering for a deeper, more solid faith. They're paying more attention to the teachings of their church. They're trying to live countercultural lives, including in the areas of chastity and defense of human life. And it's very interesting. In the years since I first did my initial research, I've continued to keep up with a lot of the interviewees, and found that, if anything, their commitments are deepening. And this movement has become more visible since I first chronicled it. But in the years when I was first writing about it, it was sort of really below the radar of the mainstream media.
Yes, absolutely. And we still don't hear that a lot. I think that one of the things that I encounter, you know, the majority of people I work with in the pastoral center, not in the Respect Life office, but outside of the office, are significantly older. And they have grown up in an environment of Catholic culture where, yeah, people are just Catholic and that's the way it is. Whereas as a young adult, and a lot of them don't get this, it's really a conscious choice to be Catholic today, basically, because you don't feel an obligation. Sure, you know, there's a picture of the Blessed Mother maybe in your parents' house, or you might have a crucifix hanging over your bed, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily engender a sense of obligation to go to Mass and things like that. So it really is an active, conscious decision. But do you think that that has resulted in a sense in this new faithful, as you put it, that we really do need to be countercultural nowadays because it is such a secular world?
Absolutely. I think that's, you really put your finger on it. It's a very pluralistic culture today, and there are a million worldviews out there, and young people are bombarded with them, even when they attend Catholic universities, you know, a million different ways of looking at the world, value systems, and so it can be very confusing. And it is unfortunately the rare Catholic today who's really been steeped in a fully Catholic worldview, not only at home, but then in Catholic schools and then in sort of a community, a neighborhood that reinforces that. That's just not the case as much for today's young adults. So there does tend to be more of a search. But for those who do find their Catholic faith and they really dig into it intellectually and in the way that they live, and they really start learning the reasons behind the teachings, and they really start cultivating friendships with others who take their faith seriously, it does by necessity become a countercultural choice, because it is so against the grain in today's culture. And this is true in the way that young people think about various issues in the political scene, but it's also true in the way they live their private lives. You know, you really have to go against the flow today to be a committed Catholic, and that's something that I think this generation understands, and understands that it really is a challenge today. You can't simply just sort of go along with the masses and hope that'll God'll grade on a bell curve.
Absolutely. That's well said. That's right. We're talking with Colleen Carroll Campbell, who is the author of The New Faithful, and she's going to be speaking at the Archdiocese of Chicago's Educating Minds, Inspiring Hearts Benefit Dinner on November 22nd at the Drury Lane. And for more information on that, you can go to respectlifechicago.com. We're going to head to a break, but when we come back, we're going to have more with Colleen Carroll Campbell talking about standing up to that culture and being countercultural as a young adult Catholic today and bringing that message to young people right here in the Archdiocese. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Catholic Campaign for Human Development awards financial grants to community groups that fight poverty and support positive change. Here's a few of those groups. The Brighton Park Neighborhood Council.
We strengthen our community through foreclosure counseling, parent patrols, and a youth jobs program.
The Logan Square Neighborhood Association.
We want to repopulate the Lathrop homes to help preserve an affordable, diverse community.
Lake County United.
We are campaigning for a charter high school to serve our far northern suburbs.
The Latino Union of Chicago.
We provide safety equipment and training for workers struggling to make ends meet.
The Progress Center for Independent Living.
We support people with disabilities in suburban Cook County to help them maintain their independence.
The Target Area Development Corporation.
We just celebrated a summer without murders thanks to our violence prevention programs.
Make Chicago and its suburbs a better place to live. Support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
We are back here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio 950 AM with Colleen Carroll Campbell, the author of the best-selling book, The New Faithful, Why Young Adults Are Embracing Christian Orthodoxy, and also the keynote speaker at the upcoming Educating Minds, Inspiring Hearts Benefit Dinner for the Chastity Ed Initiative on November 22nd. Colleen, welcome back, and we were talking about how we need to be countercultural as young adults to really live out our faith today. How do you feel chastity is a part of that commitment as young adults to live out Christian orthodoxy?
Well, you know, it was interesting, Mary Louise, in researching my book that, you know, I figured the chastity piece would be sort of a chapter somewhere, and of course there is a chapter that talks about sexual mores. But really, in a lot of the conversion stories I heard, it was almost a foundational part of the conversion.
Really?
There would be an awakening to God, a hunger for God, an emptiness with the life that, that a young adult was living, often as a result of living a promiscuous kind of party lifestyle that left them feeling that, you know, there wasn't much more to life, a longing for something more. But then once the faith was taken seriously, it seemed to be very important to solidify that commitment by a change of lifestyle and a turn toward chastity. I really didn't meet any young adults who were able to sustain a serious faith without embracing chastity. And it's important to remember, of course, that chastity is a virtue, a Christian virtue, and it's a way of life for people in any state in life. Single people, of course, but also married people and consecrated and religious. So chastity is really a very foundational virtue, and of course it is one of the most countercultural ones, perhaps the most countercultural Christian virtue in our culture today. And I think it's so foundational, you know, obviously you can't be actively living against God's commands and be at peace and in harmony with Him or with yourself. It just doesn't seem to work.
Yes.
But then even more than that, I think chastity is important, especially for young people, to learn because it's a positive virtue. It's about a whole way of life, about being open and free and being honest with yourself. Pope John Paul II's theology of the body has been very inspiring to many young adults I've interviewed. And, it's not about denying the body, denying the goodness of sex. It's about recognizing that it is so good that God created it in a specific context, and it's not to be used just as a game or a recreational sport, which unfortunately is the way that our society encourages young people to think about sex. And it then becomes the foundation for healthy marriages, healthy families, and of course the pro-life movement, because chastity is really the key, obviously to preventing abortion, but also to celebrating and reverencing human life, seeing it as a gift from God. So it really is a very foundational virtue, and I think it's important, the work that you and the Archdiocese of Chicago are doing in trying to promote chastity.
Oh, thank you, Colleen. Yeah, and I think that what you pointed out, so many things that you were just so, so relevant, and that a lot of people don't get, that this is a positive virtue. Mitch Streetle and I were just doing a workshop for teachers in Catholic schools about educating young people on issues of chastity and sexuality, and one of the teachers was really struggling with, you know, how is this different from abstinence? And
right.
And it's such a fuller message than the abstinence message, is that this is a yes to embracing that beautiful gift of sexuality the way that God intended, as you said, and that even for people who are married, chastity is very important, not in terms necessarily of being abstinent, but in terms of embracing those four meanings of the gift of sexuality, a total gift, being faithful to one another, being fruitful with that gift, and using NFP if that's necessary, and just that expression of love. So I think a lot of people really don't get all of those meanings. They don't really understand what is chastity and how beautiful that really is as a message.
Right, and I think a lot of times people of all ages and young people included struggle with the church's teachings on sexuality, because if you take one apart from the rest of the package, it can seem very hard and onerous and make not a lot of sense. For instance, the church's teaching against contraception, if that's considered alone, it can be very difficult. But if you see it as part of a continuum where you're chaste before and during marriage, you're and then when you're married, you're open to life, and yet this commitment with this person is total and faithful because you didn't, you were really saving sex for marriage. And chastity is also about other things. It's about a mindset. It's about the purity. We know we read in Scripture that it's the pure who will see God, the pure of heart. And it's a purity of heart that goes beyond, what you do. It's also how you think. It's how you dress. It's what you watch on TV and when you turn the TV off. It's what you listen to and when you turn the radio off. It's, it's what you're looking at on the Internet. And it's not always the most obvious sexual sin. Sometimes It's just a matter of opening your heart to God and being willing to rid yourself and your life of even the smaller distractions that can lead your heart away from God. And that's all a matter of openness. I know author Dawn Eden, who writes a lot on chastity.
Yes.
Yes, and she wrote a book on you know, her struggle to embrace this and how it changed her life when she finally did. But I was interviewing her on my EWTN show, Faith and Culture, once, and she told me, you know, that for her, she really found chastity to be this opening experience. She suddenly felt more open to the world, open to new relationships. Rather than shutting her down, she felt more free because she's not on the prowl. Other people, she's not having to guard herself from others
yes.
who might be using her. She's
Absolutely.
Able to be open.
Yes, yes.
So I think when we can show young people that aspect of chastity, it can be a very liberating rather than a confining choice.
Absolutely, absolutely. Unfortunately, we already need to head to another break, but we're chatting here with Colleen Carroll Campbell, who is the author of The New Faithful and host of Faith and Culture on EWTN. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Colleen, who will be speaking at the Chastity Ed Initiative's benefit dinner on November 22nd at Drury Lane. And to attend that dinner or find out more information, you can call 312-751-5355. Or go to respectlifechicago.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
We are back here in the last stretch of Life Talk here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Mary Louise Curry talking with Colleen Carroll Campbell, author of the best-selling The New Faithful book and also host of EWTN's Faith and Culture. She will be the keynote speaker at Cardinal George's benefit dinner for the Chastity Education Initiative on November 22nd at Drury Lane in Oakbrook Terrace. And we hope to have a huge turnout for that, and it raises money for the Chastity Education Initiative, which has reached more than 100,000 teens and young adults in the past 5 years with this message of chastity. And Colleen, before we went to the break, you were talking about how chastity is really crucial to young adults' foundation of faith and to living an authentic life in Christ. And you had mentioned the importance of things that we, the media that we watch on TV, what we're looking at on the internet. And there was a recent study that women who, and I wonder, you know, I wonder about the legitimacy, but at the same time, it shows the impact of media on us, that women who watch Sex in the City, and especially teen pregnancy, is related, you know, that there is a higher rate of sexual activity and teen pregnancy among girls who watch Sex in the City. It was released by Fox News just yesterday, in fact. Had you heard about that?
I had, and I think Friends was another one cited.
That's
study.
Right.
Yeah, the TV show Friends, which recently went off the air, but it's still in syndicated reruns.
Right.
Yes, you know, I wrote a column, my weekly St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper column. I write on issues like this sometimes, and I wrote a column a few months back on a little less scientific poll, but it was done by a by an online, I think it was like an entertainment magazine. They polled their readers and found that their female readers responded that their behavior had changed after watching Sex and the City for a number of years of their dating behavior, that they started to, their attitude of acceptance of casual sex had, that acceptance had increased, that they had been influenced by the show, wanting to be a little more like the characters who sort of did a lot of bed hopping and not a lot of committing, and that they saw that as a liberating choice in a way that they hadn't seen it as much when they started watching the show. So, you know, I think absolutely these things can impact us. People always say, well, it's just a TV show. Well, you know, you're filling your head with it. In reruns now, you could fill your head with it five nights a week, you know.
That's
and,
right.
And it's not as if it's the only thing on TV that's promoting these values. I mean, these are the messages that young adults are getting constantly. They're getting it on mm-hmm. television. They're getting them in the movies. They're getting them in their music. They're getting them online. And, you know, I mean, the church is up against it in many ways in trying to counteract so many messages all pointing to the same really dead-end road.
How can we counteract these powerful messages?
Well, I think things like what you're trying to do with the Chastity Education Initiative certainly go a long way toward making that start. Parents obviously can begin in their homes by limiting TV exposure and all of that at a young age and, you know, watching what their kids are watching. But, you know, once young adults are on their own, you know, there is an exercise of freedom and responsibility there. I think the big key is, and I think this is what sometimes abstinence proponents miss, is it can't all be about no. It can't all be about, well, don't look at that. That's that. You know, that's what's, you don't want to have that kind of fun, and you don't want to do this, and you're not allowed to do this, and everything's a no. I mean, you do have to absolutely turn off the TV when you're seeing something that's, you know, really impure and kind of muddying up your mind. And that takes some discipline and self-control, but it can't all be about no.
Absolutely.
And again, that's where chastity comes in. I think it's Pope Benedict who said not long ago, you know, people think of the church and its teachings as a big no, but the church is a big yes. It's
yes.
a yes to Christ, and it's a yes to a whole different way of looking at the world. Pope John Paul II's theology of the body, learning that, teaching that, in, you know, age-appropriate education of theology of the body can be very important. And I know for college students and young adults, many of them around the country are forming their own discussion groups of theology
That's right.
of the body.
Yes, we have a number going in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And, you know, the theology of the body, you're so right. It's the foundation of all that we do with chastity education. And it is such a positive approach. And, you know, that's what the schools, we've brought Jason Evert into 29 of our 40 Catholic high schools
oh, great.
So far.
He's great.
Through the Chastity Ed Initiative. And the principal and the staff are just blown away by the incredibly positive response. I mean, he gets standing ovations almost everywhere he goes, and just seeing the dramatic change of life among so many students. Colleen, we already have to finish up here, but I wanted to point people to CatholicNewWorld.com, where there's an article about you, an interview with you, and your website as well. What is that website again?
That's www.colleen-campbell.com.
Colleen-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L. Is that right?
That's
Colleen-Campbell.com. So I encourage you, and you're going to have Rick Santorum on your program tonight, on Wednesday night on EWTN. Is
that
right?
That's right. He's talking to me about the future of the pro-life and pro-family movement, so it's a good interview.
Terrific. Well, Colleen, we're looking forward to seeing you at the Chastity Education Initiative Benefit Dinner on November 22nd, and thanks so much for being with us on Life Talk today.
Thank you, Mary Louise.
God bless. Thanks so much for listening to this morning's Life Talk, and we'll look forward to being with you next month. Call us at 312-751-5355 to sign up for our benefit dinner on November 22nd with Colleen.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.